is so very good to see everybody here this morning. We do have people that are visiting. We hope you feel so welcome. That whenever you're back here in the Lindell area again, hopefully you will want to come back and worship God together with us again. As you can tell from the title of the sermon this morning, we're going to be discussing the subject of Christian and entertainment. We as Americans, we really like our entertainment. Disney World, Disneyland, Six Flags over Texas, television, internet, we like our entertainment. And it takes up a very large part of our economics and a very large part of our lives. This is the culture. This is the world where we as Christians today are living. A culture literally consumed with entertainment. We're going to start by trying to point out to you that there are forms of entertainment that in and of themselves, they are not sinful. But you can take something that is in and of itself not a sinful activity and turn it into a sinful activity. We're going to begin as part of the lesson from 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. As I said, there are actions that are pleasing, entertaining, and they're not unlawful. They're not unscriptural. They're not sinful in and of themselves. But do they edify you? Do they strengthen you? Or are they actually helping you? Over in 1 Corinthians 6 now in verse 12. He says again, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So here the second time he says, all things are not helpful. Even though they're lawful, they may not be helpful. But he goes on further and he says, I will not be brought under the power of any. The question I would like to begin with all of us examining ourselves with is, are we brought under the power of entertainment? Are you consumed with entertainment? I'm going to share with y'all a story of when I was a newlywed. I bought a television because I got tired of going over to folks' houses and watching Dallas football. And when Herschel Walker joined the Dallas Cowboys, I knew I was going to watch every game. And so I went out and bought a television, much to my future wife's dismay. And we were newlyweds one Saturday, and I was sitting there, and a football game came on. And I said to her, honey, I got to watch this game. This is one of the most important games of the year. And so I watched the football game, and she is a nice newlywed, sit there beside me and watched it with me. And then after that football game was over, another one was coming on another channel. And I turned to her, and I said, oh, Linda, oh, this game, this is one of the most important games of the year. I need to watch this game. And she, as a nice newlywed wife, sit there with me and watch the second game. And as soon as that game was over, yes, here came another one. And yes, the same words. Oh, honey, oh, look, oh, this is a big game. This is one of the most important games of the year. I need to watch this. Yes, three football games back to back to back. She knew then we had a problem. And the problem was me and football. You think you're a football fan, folks? I was raised on it, and I was the biggest football fan I think I've ever met. And I was becoming consumed with it. Watching a football game is not sinful, but I was turning it into something that was sinful. Some of you wonder why I don't play golf. There's a reason I don't play golf. I know I would like it. And you need to understand, I'm competitive. And Ben, I'm going to practice until I give you a good game. I may never beat you, but I'll practice until one day I get close. I know that about myself. There are things that I enjoy. And I recognize my weaknesses. I can get into them and get into them so much that I become consumed with them and I am brought under their power to where it is no longer helpful, no longer edifying. And not only is it no longer helpful and edifying, it has now become harmful because it is preventing me from fulfilling other responsibilities that God has given me to do. Over in Luke chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Here we see Martha and Mary. And Jesus has been brought into their house. And wherever Jesus went, multitudes followed. Martha is wanting to be a good hostess. Well, let me ask you, is it sinful to be a good hostess? No. No, it's not. And so she's trying to see to it that everybody's fed and everybody's got plenty to drink and everybody's comfortable and everybody's doing well. And here's Mary sitting down at Jesus' feet. And Martha comes up to Mary and says, "Don't you see she's left me alone to serve? Tell her to help me." The text says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her.'" Martha was distracted. And she was so distracted from actions and activities that in and of themselves were not sinful, that she had lost focus of what was eternal and what was important. Brethren, you know we can do the same thing today. To where we become so concerned and so distracted about other activities that we lose focus of what is important and let the things that are eternal and the things that are important go so we can give ourselves to these distractions. And unfortunately, as I said, often it's just entertainment, which is a distraction from the world around us to try to break our mind from pressures. Proverbs 29, verse 15. It says, "The rod and the rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings a shame to his mother." There are parents who become so consumed with entertainment that they let their children go. And quite often, entertainment is becoming the way of raising the child. To where rather than spending time disciplining the child or teaching the child, or they're spending time with them, you put them in front of television. You put them in front of the screen and say, "Here, watch this. Leave me alone." You need to realize that if you let television raise your children, then they're going to have the morals of Hollywood, probably. And it's not going to be Christian-oriented. Do not leave your child alone and neglect them so that you can enjoy your entertainment. Turn it off, let it go, and focus on your family. Focus on the primary treasures that God has blessed you with, and focus on matters that are eternal, like trying to help them grow in their knowledge of the Word of God and their relationship with God. We can become so consumed with entertainment that we want to be entertained, we want our children to be entertained, and we're letting go of what is needful. We're letting go of getting them and ourselves grounded in our relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3 is talking about the relationship between a husband and wife. "But the husband rendered to the wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." Render to the wife the affection that is due her. Here it is dealing with a husband-wife relationship that they have needs. The wife has needs, the husband has needs. You can get so consumed with entertainment that you're letting go of your family and the responsibilities God has given you to your wife and your husband and your children because you're wanting to play with your game and watch your screens. I remember one time watching someone at Thanksgiving. He came in, put his video game in the video player, sat there in front of the television, and his children were running all around him. And he played the video game. And it came time to eat Thanksgiving dinner, you know, the big dinner, the big together of the family. He said, bring it to me. He sat there in front of the television while everybody else was at the table playing his video game. The whole day, he played his video game. He never talked to anybody. He played his video game for hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. Folks, he had become consumed with it. There are people who become consumed with actions that in and of themselves are not sinful, but they give so much of their time to it that it becomes sinful because they are letting go of the responsibilities that God has given them within the family unit to the children and the husband and the wife. Over in Proverbs, it says in chapter 30, verses 21 through 23, he talks about how there's three things under which the earth trembles, the four things under which you cannot stand up. And in the list here, he has an unloved woman who is married. If you're married and you're not being given what you need, which is your love and the affection, then you are going to be so frustrated that the earth is trembling underneath you. Recognize that you can become consumed with entertainment to where, even though it may not be sinful in and of itself, it becomes sinful because you are brought under the power of it. Luke 10:31. I know you're familiar with the parable here, the parable of the Good Samaritan. It says, now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Again, we can become so consumed with ourselves and our own entertainment and our own fun that when we see somebody over here who's in need, even in the body of Christ, we say, oh, I'm busy, I ain't got time. In reality, what we're busy with is our entertainment. And we won't even let go of our own entertainment to go help somebody that's in need. You need to realize that when you pass by on the other side, folks, you have sinned. Matthew 6:33. And the text here is trying to emphasize to us what is important. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. You can become so consumed with entertainment that you become more important with entertainment than God. I would go worship God, but I got this game. I got this game. I got to go play. Really? Folks, I played baseball. I remember it. I wasn't very good. My father bragged on me when I fouled one. But I played. And it was just part of my life that I was going to leave in the middle of the game. And I would go to Bible class all dirty in my baseball uniform because it was understood God comes first, not the game. Listen, folks, entertainment doesn't come first. When I go to softball games and I see Methodist sitting up a worship tent, something is seriously wrong. So that you can come to the tent during the middle of the games and take the Lord's Supper and pray and have a devotional. Softball ministries. We are consumed with entertainment, folks, to where it is becoming sinful when we're putting that ahead of God in worship. And make no mistake about it, folks, it is sinful. When you ever do that, it's not a job that you have to do to survive. It is a choice of forsaking the assembly for entertainment. And it is sinful. Now then, we've just been discussing forms of entertainment that in and of themselves are not sinful, but they can become sinful. The rest of the sermon this morning is on forms of entertainment that are sinful in and of themselves that we as Christians should have no participation in it whatsoever. 2 Corinthians 6:17 is where I'd like to start this part of the sermon. It is trying to describe to us the degree of our sanctification and the spiritual battle that we as Christians face. He says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. This verse is describing and discussing the separation from the world and maintaining this separation and this sanctification from the world. You all know we are a culture and a nation consumed with entertainment. And what is happening now is in these different forms of entertainment, Satan is coming in and bringing in sinful forms of entertainment within the world of entertainment, and it is dominating it now. And you as Christians are going to have to decide, am I going to go up in here among them and compromise my morals and my values as a Christian? And am I going to participate in these activities which are downright sinful? Psalm says in Psalms 101 verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Then in Matthew 5:28, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I want to put these two verses before your mind at this time because one of our primary forms of entertainment in our culture is now television and movies. And what is coming now from Hollywood is all kinds of vulgarity and trash in the form of entertainment. I remember one time going over to visit a member of the church. I'm not going to tell you who and where. And as I was in her house visiting her, she had a television on. And on her television was a soap opera. That's what it was. Yeah, it was a soap opera. And in the soap opera, there was a man and a woman in bed having sex. Yeah. And I was sitting here and I was thinking, okay, all right. I can't believe this is on. All right. It wasn't bothering her at all. Now listen to me, folks. Listen close. Listen close. For you to sit there and watch people having sex and then come and sing how I love Jesus, you are a hypocrite. Because you are in sin. You become comfortable with it. And you're no longer ashamed to see it and watch it. And you enjoy it because as soon as I left, I know she went right back to watching it, and it was her everyday pattern. Listen to me, folks. Do not set wickedness in front of your eyes. We are Christians, or are we not? Set no wickedness before your eyes. Get control of it. Yes, the majority of the world is going into it, but we are to separate ourselves from it. Let me tell you a useful thing I have come to find about. It's called screenit.com. You can go to this and it will tell you everything that's in the movies. And there are other ones out there. You can go to them and it will tell you what is actually in the movies as far as words and things that are sexual. And it has prevented me from watching a lot of movies. Let me tell you another thing I have come to discover. It's called TV Guardian. It's wonderful. It filters out all cussing. Every bit of it. To where whenever things are coming through your television, if someone starts cussing, it is filtered out and removed and you don't hear it. I want to encourage you. You can probably find it at Walmart. I'll do a commercial for it. Get control of what you're watching. It crushes me inside to have a Christian say, it's a good movie, and you go watch it, and there's all kinds of vulgarity, and God's name in vain used over and over and over again, and a Christian encouraged me to watch it. Something's wrong. Something seriously wrong. When they start using God's name in vain, folks, it's time to get it out and get it out now. And when they're having sex, it's time to turn it off and turn it off now. And don't become comfortable with it. And don't think, oh, the preacher's just raving. No, I'm trying to tell you what Christianity really is, folks. All right. Job 31:1 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Don't do it. Don't look at pornography and the filth that's coming through the videos and the movies and the television. Now then, I want to go into a different direction. 1 Timothy 2:9-10. Here he talks about the dressing of the young women. He says that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety. And he says, which is proper for women professing godliness. New York, Hollywood, Paris, London, they're setting the fashions. And the fashions are always going to be directed toward the world and showing as much of your body as you can. That is the way the world dresses, yes. But we are Christians. Please, do not dress like the world. Proverbs says in chapter 7, verse 10, describing the type of attire, it says this woman had the attire of a harlot. Are you dressing like a prostitute? Now you may be thinking, well, what does that mean? That has to do with advertising your body. The best verse I want to use on this are two of them. One of them is in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 26. He says, nor shall you go up by steps to my altar. Now why is it that God doesn't want there to be steps going up to the altar? He gives the answer, he says, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. You see, God doesn't want people coming to worship Him and on the way to worship Him going up the stairs and being able to look up someone's tunic and see their naked body and find themselves sinning on the way to worship. Listen to me. God doesn't want us coming to worship today and when we're coming to worship struggling with sinning because of the way women are dressed. And yes, I'm talking about immodest apparel. One of the best verses I know to explain this is Proverbs, actually, chapter 5. When it says, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well, should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with a stranger. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May your breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? This is talking about keeping yourself for your husband alone. I'm going to put it this way, simply as I can. Your body is only for your husband to see. For his eyes only. And the text here is talking about you don't share it with a stranger. Do not share your body visually with strangers. Yes, we're talking about your breast here in the context, your bosom. Do not share it visually with strangers. You may be thinking, well, I'm not letting anybody touch it. Let me ask you, why does pornography sell? You hadn't got to touch the woman. Just to look at her is enough. Don't show your body to people. It is for your spouse's eyes only. 1 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. I want to give a definition here of lasciviousness. It's wanton acts or manners as filthy words, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. One of the more popular forms of entertainment in America today is dancing. Now, folks, I've seen dancing that was not enticing me sexually. I went up to Arkansas one time and watched some girls clogging. And I don't mind telling you, when they were sitting there clogging, I wasn't lusting after them. I've seen Fred Astaire tap dance with Ginger Rogers, and I wasn't lusting after her. I do not think Herodias' daughter was clogging in front of Herod when it says her dance pleased him. Everybody here knows that you can move your body in a way that is totally purposed to excite someone sexually. And that is the way dances are done today. You only tell what prom is all about, folks. It's all about getting someone excited sexually. Go to Dillard's and look at the dresses. They look like the attire of a harlot. And that's what they're meant to look like. And the dances are meant to entice you sexually. Listen to me, folks. Are we Christians or not? Or are we going to compromise with it? Or are we going to do as the Scripture says, abstain from it? Abstain from the fleshly lust which are warring against the soul, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Yes, we are a culture consumed with entertainment, and much of it is downright sinful, that we as Christians should have absolutely no fellowship with it whatsoever. How about gambling? How many of you ever had people say, well, you show me a scripture that says it's wrong for me to go to the boats, that it's wrong for me to go and gamble. Okay, here it is, folks. Luke says in chapter 12, 15, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. There it is. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Let me ask you, what's the whole point in driving gambling? I want more. I want more. I want the pot of money. I'm pulling this thing on the machine because I want the money that's in it. It is all driven by one thing, and that is greed for money. Ephesians says in 5 and 3, covetousness, let it not even be named among you. He says in Hebrews 3, 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. And then in Colossians 3, 5, covetousness, which is idolatry. It is covetousness that is driving gambling, folks. How much covetousness is okay? How much gambling is okay? Don't gamble, period. It's like asking the question, how much lasciviousness is okay? Where is the line that I can... Don't even think that way. Come out from among them. Be separate. Covetousness is a desire to have more, always in a bad sense. It is a desire for material possessions. And that is what's driving gambling. And then finally, we'll close the sermon with this last point. You think about how much people in America associate drinking and even drugs now with entertainment. If you're going to go to a baseball game, well, it's a place to get drunk. Football game, place to get drunk. And most sporting activities and most entertainment now is associated with alcohol. Proverbs, I want to go to it now, chapter 23. Go with me to the outline. I want to read the entire text. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Now notice what I've got here in verse 31. Do not look at the wine when... Folks, you don't get drunk staring at a bottle of whiskey. You get drunk drinking it. Here he's talking about you no longer drink it when it has changed, when it has gone from being a blessing to where it is now a strong drink. He goes on further talking about this when he says, when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, at the last, you see, when, at the last, is describing time. Time. At the last, it bites like a serpent. It stings like a viper. Now it's poison. It's no longer a blessing. It's turned into poison. He says in verse 33, your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies on the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me and I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Folks, don't have anything to do with the alcohol. And by the way, if you don't know this, the beer of today is the strong drink of the Bible. They didn't have distillation in ancient times. And when people try to act like, oh, this is not strong drink, it is. And strong drink is never condoned in the Bible, Old or New Testament, anywhere. It is condemned. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. I wanted to bring this verse in here. In Habakkuk 2, 15, it says, "Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing into your bottle, even to make him drunk that you may look on his nakedness." I've told you this before. If you go somewhere and a boy or a girl is trying to get you to drink or use drugs, tell them to take you home and take you home now. They don't care about you. They don't love you. They're trying to get you drunk or stoned for one reason, and that is to tear down your defenses. As the text says here, that they may look upon your nakedness. You need to understand the world is cold. The world is wicked. And you don't want to have anything to do with it. You want to come out from among it and not even touch it. Galatians 5. We'll close with this. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I've also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." In the list of the works of the flesh, you have sorcery and drunkenness. I want to give you the definition of sorcery because I've actually come upon people that say, "Can you show me in the scriptures where it says it's sinful for me to smoke pot or sinful for me to snort cocaine?" Here is the word sorcery. It comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which is primarily signifying the use of medicine, drugs, and spells. You think about it. How much of our culture thinks it's all about beer and drinking? And yes, even drugs. You need to realize, folks, the majority of our culture does this. It is the norm. When your kids tell you, "Well, Mom, Dad, everybody's doing it." Because from their perspective, just about everybody is. But we are not. We wear the name of Christ because we are Christians. And we're striving to follow the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and to have no fellowship with the works of darkness, to have no fellowship with what is described here as the works of the flesh, to come out from among them and to not even touch it, to maintain our sanctification. Let's summarize what we've learned from the sermon. There are forms of entertainment that in and of themselves are not sinful. There's nothing wrong with playing a game of hearts. But if you play hearts for 5 hours, something's wrong. There's nothing wrong with playing a game of free cell. But if you've played a game of free cell for 6 hours nonstop, you have become overcome by it. There's nothing wrong with watching a football game. But three in a row for 9 hours, something was wrong with me. Have you become overcome by things that in and of themselves are not sinful? Video games, television, it can be golf, it can be any kind of entertainment. Because when you do that, you start letting go of your responsibilities toward your family, toward those who are in need, and toward God. But then there are other types of entertainment coming through the television, coming through the movies, that in and of themselves, they are sinful. And we as Christians are told to have no fellowship with them. We as Christians are told to abstain from them. We as Christians are told to come out from among them and not even touch it. Please maintain your sanctification in a world that is getting darker and darker. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this morning who is not a member of the body of Christ. And you've come to believe that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you are willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and you know that there's sin that you have been living in and walking in that is separating you from God, I would hope that you would have the godly sorrow enough to deal with it, to repent of it. We as your family will pray for you, we'll pray with you, and do the best we can to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the psalms.